slow things down. I mentioned in particular the UK, where they are trying to build one federation quite successfully that's going to span higher ed, continuing ed, or further ed as they call it, and K-12. So that is a federated model that certainly pays, we should pay some close attention to. They use SHIB. They're doing a lot of the legwork that I don't think we have done yet in the U.S. to make this work in the K-12 community. So let me end with two additional data points. One is, it's really about the applications. It's not about federated identity. And so the Confluence Wiki that you see there is powered by SHIB in that it's a federated identity model. We are in the process of starting to enable a raft of collaborative applications with federated identity. So instant messaging is largely done. The next one we're about to roll out is web accessed file storage. And I think this is going to be a big win among collaborative groups in K-12 that want to share documents, be they testing documents or curriculum documents or who knows what. This will allow you to access, using your local name and password, documents that are stored on some server that may be external to your enterprise. And we're only a couple of weeks away from releasing that on top of Apache and perhaps on top of IIS as the file stores. So there will be something that will allow transparent sharing of documents. We're going to move from there towards video conferencing, audio conferencing, and a few other collaboration apps. We're going to be opportunistic. Some apps are easy to convert, some are not. And so that's item one. Item two is that for all of this to work, you really need to make sure that the information you're exchanging between sites in the Federation makes sense. That means that you have to have a consensus around the syntax and the semantics of the payloads of the shibboleth assertions. We began with that work even before we had shibboleth in higher ed and came up with EduPerson. And EduPerson has become a normative international standard that has a set of attributes that everybody seems to agree on the meaning and the writing thereof. And so we can pass them back and forth, and those attributes include what your affiliation to the enterprise is, what your persistent name is, what an opaque identifier would be in case you want to preserve privacy but still be able to get to places, etc. That set of attributes is really essential to making this all work. And the set of attributes that we developed for higher education are inappropriate in the words we use and the categories we use for K-12. So one would imagine, motivated by a set of use cases around real sharing of information, one of the first tasks for this group would be to draft a, we'll call it a K-12 person, but basically a cabinet that can hold attributes about the individuals involved in the federated identity. And that often, at this point, the technology is very straightforward, and the agreement on a set of attributes remains a very challenging task. So as you sequence things here, Randy, I would just point out that activity is essential and at the same time lengthy. You might want to probe with the UK folks about what object classes they've defined. Object classes is the name for these attributes. What attributes they've defined for their K-12 aspects of their federation. I don't know that they've defined anything unique. They probably will need to, and that might be something we could piggyback on.
Ken, I think that could make a lot of sense. I'm wondering if you've had, in your conversations with the Department of Ed, any contact with people at the National Forum on Education Statistics. They're kind of a nationwide representative group managed by NCES and state directors of education technology, and usually a representative delegated by a a state superintendent or a from an education agency. They focus a lot on a number of policies that have to do with K-12, in particular that have to do with data and information exchange and school interoperability. And just kind of reviewing some of their publications, I think there's a pretty salient awareness of the relevance of identity management and these kinds of questions, and to the technical level in certain parts of that organization and certain committees. And yet, I think there's still a lot of wide open territory and a lot of questions and a lot of unknowns.
No, I haven't had that contact. We, when you go inside the Beltway, we're functioning in a highly prescribed environment about who we're allowed to talk to. My only connection has been through the Charlie Coleman of the Department of Ed, and I think he's with financial aid more than anything else. They do collect a set of statistics, and that's, in fact, the first capabilities they're looking for. And ironically, to echo Kim's point, or Miko's point rather, earlier, what they're looking for is single sign-on. So they have 17 different applications, statistical data gathering applications that two or three people in each university work with to fill in federal data. 17 applications, 17 different usernames, 17 different passwords, even for the same person. So they're looking for single sign-on, not to allow people from around the world to use their local credentials, but merely to get a single sign-on capability among the set of applications that they offer, which is pretty interesting. The only other connection I've had in this space, Randy, is with Hans Lorange, who works for SHIO, which is, again, I think state higher education offices. Mm-hmm. And again, they recognize that this is the way to go. They, ironically, SHIO operates its own website for all of its members, and those members get yet another username and password to log on. So SHIO is also interested in building, you know, eating this dog food as well, but they're not there yet.
Okay.
Well,
I
ask a question?
Yes, please do.
I'm probably, fairly new to the ship, but, and I know the penetration rate at UK is tremendous. I think K-12 is compulsory that you had to use SHIP. I'm not sure about post-secondary. But are you aware of any state here that's actually working on using SHIP for K-20 community?
Not for the K-12 piece. So in California, the UC system has something called UC Trust, which I think embraces almost every one of the UC schools. And then Cal State is forming their own federation, again, using SHIB, and that's going to be the Cal State Federation, and that's going to be 23 universities. But note that they kept their federations distinct even among the two higher ed communities. There's a rule of thumb that I think we need to understand how it applies down at the K-12 level, but the rule of thumb says that federations tend to respect administrative boundaries. And so that's kind of the right scoping, and that's largely because to make a federation real involves a contract, and those contracts are best done. I mean, if you already have an existing contractual structure, then it's much more straightforward to do this. And so the Texas system is done. The UT campuses have probably 50 federated applications now cranking away, but that's only the 17 schools of UT. So when the Texas Digital Library Federation comes into being, as it will in the next few months, since that spans legislatively and administratively a different community than the UT system. There is obvious overlap, but it's a different community, and so they right now are working through the issues of setting up a separate federation for the Texas Digital Library and then getting a relationship between the two federations.
Right, and I think that's a K-20, isn't it, the Texas Virtual Library?
It may well be. I would be thrilled. We're looking for somebody to, step forward here. We do see in both New York State and Washington State state federations springing up in the government sector. The farthest along one is the New York State, and it's intended to provision, I think, government services in the state to citizens as well as to organizations that may have dealings with the state. So that would be another place where it would be worthy to stay abreast of that development to see whether or not the New York State Federation is reaching down to K-12 services.
Wow. So I guess my question then, is it too much to hope for? I mean, here in Kentucky, that's what we're kind of exploring. And first of all, I think I also had contact with Ann West in your office.
Yep.
And I asked for sort of a tutorial on SHIP because I think it would be great for the work group members to have the same base knowledge of what a SHIP is. And obviously there's no such a thing, right?
Well, it really depends upon where you're coming from. We have roadmaps about how an enterprise gets its identity management processes in line. So there is a tremendous amount of outreach, but I believe it's probably oriented towards higher ed, perhaps some of the trailing edge of higher ed now, but I don't think it's all of those materials are oriented towards K-12. But there are roadmaps that say, you know, even before you think about federated identity, think about identity. And think about who you give identity to, and think about how you give them identity, and how do they authenticate against. So there's a whole wealth of activities that has really little to do with federation and more to do with internal practices that the authentication roadmap describes and which may be somewhat germane, if not totally germane, to the K-12 interest. There's also an excellent video that the UK has done, but that's not deep. That's just, you know, glitzy.
It's animated, right?
That's it's animated with a British accent, which gives it extra points.
Yeah, just did that, yeah.
Yes.
So, Randy, is that something that
I was going
to
ask.
Set aside as a task to do? Is to do a sort of a tutorial for K-20 audience?
Indeed, this is something that was discussed in the last call, to some degree suggested, that a way of introducing the framework to K-12 decision makers could be prepared as a sort of a learning, an LMS-based course, a web-based course that people could access and work through on their at their own pace and then join in on the conversation.
But I was even thinking about more integrated approach.
Yeah.
Really just you know, do not say it's K-12 or post-secondary, just say it's a K-20 approach.
See, I almost think it's really not about the technology, it's about the applications that the technology enables. So I would almost volunteer that the way to proceed is to have a few SHIB-enabled applications out there that are of interest to K-12, and then demo the applications and say, did you notice that you could just click to get the video conference? Did you notice that since you authenticated when you went to this site to get some files, you weren't even asked who you were, let alone having to authenticate? So it seems to me that you know, a lot of us are passionate about the technology and excited about it, but it's really the use of the technology.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
for many of these people, we almost want to begin with, here's some applications. Think about how you had to do them last week. Think about how you do them today.
Yeah. And would yes. Google Schools be potentially be one of those ways to introduce people?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that Miko and I had talked about at the last member meeting was that I think is consistent with some of the things we've talked about in this working group is a convening in groups like the work groups that are being conducted in Kentucky. Doing the sort of the SHIB Fest or SHIB Camp or the kinds of install fests that have been done? Is that?
Well, I don't know if we're at the install fest time here. I think we may well be at the still motivational aspects because. Honestly, I don't think the rest of the identity management infrastructure in most of these K-12 communities is in place. So dropping SHIB in, yeah, we could get a little bit of work done, but it presumes that you have identity managed. It assumes that you have some place to store attributes like a directory, and I don't think any of that stuff is typically in place. It would also be good to understand to what degree are people looking for Microsoft-based platforms versus Apple or Unix-based platforms for their requirements. Because that would be, if, for example, we don't have a well-done version of SHIB on Apple. It wouldn't be hard to do, but there's been very little demand. If that turns out to be of interest, then I think we're far enough along with Apple at this point where we could ask them if they want to do that as part of their K-12 environments. But again, I think we want to begin with a set of motivational applications. Make sure that people are comfortable that it works for either administration or curriculum, and then take it from there.
Yeah, that's a very good first step. Is to scoping out or at least have a snapshot of the application that. Would like to have single sign-on.
Then is this a time to sort of put a stake in the ground on a set of content applications and services that that we want to sort of push forward?
I would think so. I would think that getting a set of applications that people really want us to work on or that we may have worked on already and been done with would be really a start.
You mentioned a lot of them, and in particular, I noticed that you mentioned video conferencing and audio conferencing and instant messaging and those kinds of collaboration tools are gaining a lot of uptake. Are you still thinking that this is probably still a little too soon to pay attention to those?
Well, some are done. The video conferencing, we're depending upon some developments happening in Europe on that, and it probably won't be 323. It'll probably be the SIP-based tools, but it isn't done. The audio conferencing is fairly straightforward. It might be done soon. There's a public domain package called Asterisk that allows you to do audio conferencing on the Internet. It's very popular, and it looks like it's going to be straightforward to do. We are putting a lot of energy into the collaboration apps at this point. And if you went to the EDUCORE's website and looked at we have a close partnership with EDUCORE's, and they're running two camps later next week or the week after in Portland, and the first camp is on SHIB, and we're trying to aim it a little bit at the not usual suspect universities, and then but the second session in Portland is on collaboration apps, and the goal here is to get all the learning management systems. Now, clearly, some of them like WebCT and Sakai are already SHIBbed, but to get some of the other collaboration apps going and to get energy around them. So my guess, Randy et al., is that by the end of the summer, we'll have a richer portfolio of collaboration apps, probably stitched together into a reasonable veneer so that you'll sit down at a collaboration platform and say you want to, and that collaboration platform itself will be SHIBbed, so you'll authenticate using your local credentials, and then you'll be on this platform that will allow you to do all this these collaboration aspects. So I think the end of the summer is probably a good time frame to get to some of those applications. I think at the same time that we are preparing to do those kinds of demos, we should be identifying all of the steps that need to happen for the community to actually partake of them, so that at the end we can say, here's a work group that's trying to standardize on attributes. Here's a work group that's trying to investigate whether or not the key platforms for K-12 are SHIBbed. I think one of the hardest issues we're going to face is in the lower grades, are we really giving out identities to individual students, or are those classroom identities where, you know, the teacher has the identity but not the students? I think those are fraught with policy issues, and I think as you move into high school, I would imagine that all the students will have their own accounts, though whether or not the schools are giving out those accounts is unclear. The other major conundrum for K-12 is what is the right locus for deployment? Is it that a state operates these services, that each district operates the services for its schools, that each school operates it? The answer is certainly going to be all of the above, but trying to develop some sets of guidelines and rules of thumb about which types of deployments make sense in which kinds of environments would be very, would be awfully important.
You're mentioning the end of the summer, and that may be timely with a face-to-face meeting of the K-20 initiative that is being convened here in Kansas City. We're still putting together the final details, but there will be in August, I think the third week of August is probably the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 20th and 21st, a brief kind of a working meeting and sort of a strategic focus, with a strategic focus on what kinds of things can we put into action. This may be an ideal kind of segment and place to get some input and feedback from those people who are active in their state networks and those environments, and also to give them the information that they need to show them those sets of applications. I don't know
so
what you're available.
It's going to happen, huh, Randy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe if it's possible, we can schedule with you, Ken, for your presence in one form or another.
Yeah. Well, send me the dates. I suspect from looking at my schedule, Randy, that might be hard, but
right.
Ann or somebody else could cover it and
okay.
Do an excellent job.
Great. In that case, that may be the place to move on to take a look at the the action items and determine, I think we've, in terms of our conversation, we've covered to some extent these kind of points that came from the most recent or the last conference call. I was hoping that either Sean or George would be available to talk with us a little bit about the work between state nets and COSIN. I don't know if anybody else has a sense of the status of that, but there was what had been discussed was a survey, I think, of COSIN members about their knowledge and their knowledge of identity management and access management and their interest in working on K20 issues. I haven't heard anything further about that.
I'm not too familiar with this. What is COSIN?
The consortium of school networks.
And so that's K-12, right?
Yeah, it's primarily K-12.
And StateNet is also K-12.
StateNet is, I think, a little bit. It's a little bit more broadly defined because the StateNet group typically involves the leadership of the organizations that do the technical management for the networks.
Mm-hmm.
So in some places those are higher ed institutions that do that, and in some places it's an arm of state government, and in some places it's a private not-for-profit.
I see.
So it's a little bit different, and K-12 are typically customers of the state nets members.
Mm-hmm.
COSIN typically involves leadership and policymakers from the K-12 enterprise. So in that case, let me just check in with you all about whether this makes sense for next steps. We talked a little bit about planning opportunities to bring some of this information to the forefront provide some opportunity for people to gain some experience with single sign-on and this kind of access management for collaborative applications. Through the summer, if we take an approach of working on the wiki to build that list and I'll make the inquiry about the because I did talk with Hugh from Janet, I think, regarding the their deployment, and I can follow up on the object classes, and we can begin to sort the key attributes for those particular applications. Is that work that we want to do on the wiki?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
If when you get something close to a critical mass, and it doesn't have to be a large crowd, but if you could get 5 or 6 people knowledgeable, again, all of this stuff typically begins with a set of use cases, because you want to make sure you can actually meet those requirements. You don't want to go spinning off on what somebody thinks is important to discover it isn't. So beginning with, we want to share streaming video off of this server. We want to be able to share files in this way. We want a wiki that will allow this kind of activity. we want IM where all of the members of the school district can chat using their local logins, etc. Coming up with a set of use cases is really critical. Once you had those use cases, we could take someone who helped in the higher ed community to begin to refine those use cases into what's really needed in terms of attributes. We could assign somebody to work with that small group of K-12-oriented folks to help guide that, because I think there's some rat holes to avoid, et cetera. But the piece that builds the interest and the community is really around the use cases. What do you want to be able to do that is difficult or awkward to do today? And I think you want to plant some seeds, because most people don't have much idea, and so maybe the list we just talked about is sufficient. But let's get people who actually have those use cases so that we can, let's take the streaming video case. Do you want to provide access based upon who the person is, or merely that they're a student or a teacher? Is there another category besides student and teacher that we want to capture in K-12 that might have editing capabilities on the streaming video or something or other? So I think it really begins with what is it that you want to do that is hard to do today, and then let's see how we can work on that. And putting out a call for use cases in the appropriate arena is often a mobilizing activity, and I would think, Randy, maybe even better than a survey, because surveys are pretty unexciting, and people
right.
don't fill them out, whereas tell us what your problems are so that we can help is often a more motivational interest.
Well, that makes sense. That's helpful. I wonder if there are there any other items that we want to cover in our conference call today? Any other business to attend to?
If there was something from the Department of Ed, if there is a clerical administrative activity that people at the state level or at the local level do with regularity upon applications that Department of Ed runs, I would put those into the use. I would make sure that we seek those in the use case bucket as well, Randy, because I think the Department of Ed, even though they're not moving much more than glacially, would be interested in knowing what people would like to see.
Yes, definitely. Wouldn't you say the virtual library applications is probably the low-hanging fruit?
Oh, sure. The question is really one of what content do you want to go after? Because not all the vendors... Well, but which vendors? Which content? Because not all the vendors are doing... most of them are, but not all of them. But the library content is certainly out there as a... definitely an attractor, yep.
Because there are so many states now have virtual library, and Kentucky is one of the earliest ones.
So things like Thompson Gale Literature Resources and ProQuest and Nursing Journals and
Most of those you just
and what happened is that a student could be enrolled in more than one campuses, but each campus has its own subscription, and so you end up having to have 3-4 sets of ID password to go into each library system and to access those databases, electronic databases. So it seems to me that will be the low-hanging fruit. And you talked about UT campus, or Texas, and the virtual library. That might be something to look at. We would be very interested here in Kentucky.
Likewise, we help fund the statewide database resource for the state library that's accessible through a portal for all of the members in the network. We have a contract with a group called Learning Station to manage that. In addition to that being accessible using the a state library card ID.
I see.
So we'd be interested in that as well.
Yeah. It's always good to hit the low-hanging fruit.
Okay. Could be a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Course management software, live tutoring systems, those kinds of things?
Yeah.
Also? Okay. Any other thoughts before we conclude? Are the times for the next conference calls possible for everybody?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay.
What was the time for the next one, Randy?
24th September.
September.
24th.
September 24 and December 10.
Yeah, so my only question there is, since we talked about something with the conference in Kansas City in August, how are we going to coordinate around that? Is that going to be done off this call?
Certainly we could reconvene another call. We're having a planning conversation again Wednesday this week, and then we'll probably talk. We're talking with Lewis on Wednesday of next week. I can forward the information to the list of folks who are involved in this working group. I can contact your office and see if there's somebody who you mentioned Ann. Maybe I can contact Ann and see if she.
Yeah. Why don't you get this on Ann? Right. Why don't you get this on Ann's calendar, I think, before we lose that opportunity.
Great. That sounds great. Thank you. So, I think if there are any other... If there aren't any other closing thoughts, we'll wrap up the call for today. I'll forward minutes as soon as I can get them put together and post them to the wiki, and follow up with the group on these on the outcomes from this call.
Right. Thank you so much, Randy, for
Thank
coordinating
you.
This.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.